thankful for the prayer this morning, and Brother Jesse, he just hit 3 score and 10 a day or so ago, and what a great blessing that is. I appreciate Brother Jesse's assistance with song leading and also leading us in prayer, and again, ask that you would continue to pray for me this morning. As we conclude our look at the book of Ecclesiastes, if you want to turn with me, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 9, and while you're turning there, I want to just say this. As I was thinking about the message this morning and just really kind of mentally going over all that we have explored in this book, the thought came to my mind, what a wonderful blessing it is to have the understanding of the truth of God's word that we do. Because we have a clear understanding of God and what has been done for us and the mercy and the long-suffering of God, and then we apply it to the context of Solomon, who was inspired by God to write this word. And now we get to the end of this word that he has written for, as I've mentioned before, I believe he wrote it for his children and his grandchildren, but ultimately he was inspired by God to write it for God's people. I'm thankful that we serve a God of mercy. I'm thankful that we serve a God who is long-suffering towards us, because if you were to follow many of the erroneous teachings of the world today, Solomon would not have made the cut in a lot of religious systems. In fact, there are even folks under the banner of Christianity that believe, well, Solomon, he ultimately did not make it to heaven. And you look at his life and you look at everything that he went through. What a wonderful blessing that as he ends this letter, we still see that God is on his throne, and this man who had, as we've noted, experienced everything that you could experience in this world, this man who had made about every mistake that you could make, here at the end, he is still found praising God. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that in my own life. I'm thankful that God didn't write me off when I strayed away from him. I'm thankful that God was faithful when I was not. I'm thankful that though I fall short on a daily basis, God is still long-suffering and God is forgiving. I'm thankful that I don't go to heaven based on the things that I have done, or I would have been in trouble a long time ago. Salvation is all by the grace of God, and that's the hope that I have. And really, I want you to understand, that is the primary truth here that we should see as Solomon pens these final words when he instructs us as God's people what the conclusion of the matter is. Understand, my friends, no matter where you are this morning, God is still on his throne. And as his children, understand you are eternally secure, though you fall short. And I don't know where everyone is. I don't know everyone's situations that may be here this morning or even tuning in. But the good news is our God is still good, and our God is a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. And I hope what we see from God's word this morning is wherever we find ourselves as God's people, today is a new day, and by his grace we can go forward and honor him in our lives. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll start reading at verse 9. It says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." Verse 11 says, "The words of the wise are as goads, and the nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making of many books there is no end, and much studying is a weariness to the flesh." Verse 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And primarily, I want us to focus on what I read in verse 13, where Solomon ends this by saying, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's the burden and the responsibility that's given to us as God's people. So this morning I'm going to speak on the conclusion of the whole matter. And again, the main truth that I want you to gather from what we're going to look at this morning is that wherever life has taken us, whatever mistakes we have made, however much time has passed as we have lived our lives and made mistakes and stumbled along the way, even now as God's people, we can turn towards Him and serve Him and honor Him with the time that we have right now. As we mentioned last Sunday, we talked about the spectrum of life from those that were young, and we remember chapter 12 starts out by reminding us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And Solomon goes through that whole spectrum of being young to being old to the point where the end of your life is at hand. And I want to remind you, wherever you find yourself, now and today is a good time to serve God. And I want you to understand that. We're going to look in Joel chapter 2 in just a little bit, but I want us to just recap a little bit. Remember, Solomon is writing this in retrospect. He is writing this to his son. He's writing this to his grandchildren. And he's writing this to us as God's people to remind us of those things that are most important. To remind us of those things that really matter in life. If you were to go to Solomon and ask him at this time, Solomon, what are the things that matter in life? Well, we've seen throughout this book that he has done everything and he's tried everything under the sun. And I think that he would give us an answer that all of us, hopefully all of us, will realize as we get older. Remember, Solomon had considered the things of pleasure. Solomon had amassed great possessions. He had amassed great wealth. He poured himself into his work. He sought out the wisdom of the world. He considered foolishness. He considered youth and old age. He considered injustice. He considered death. And if we were to ask him today what really matters, what makes life meaningful, or what truly satisfies the human heart, and I think he would give us the answer that we see. Well, we know that he would give us the answer in what we see here in these concluding verses. You know, he doesn't say here that I just wish I would have accumulated more. I wish I would have accomplished more in this world. I wish I would have experienced more. No, he says, what matters most to you is this: fear God and keep his commandments. And the older you get, I hope the older you get and the more life experience that you see in your lifetime, you'll see that's what we're called to do as God's people: reverentially fear God and obey Him. You want satisfaction in life. You fit everything else in life just in that verse right there. Fear God and keep His commandments. Remember, we've talked over and over again. He speaks about a life out of balance with God. Your work life is going to be miserable if you don't put God first. If you don't follow what Scripture teaches about whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men, you're going to struggle. You're going to never find satisfaction in the entertainment and the things of this world if you do not remember that. Fear God and keep His commandments. I don't know about you, but there's something just extremely encouraging and hopeful about that. Young folks, that is a word of encouragement to you. You want your life to have meaning. You want joy in your life. You want fulfillment in your life. Fear God and keep His commandments. As you get older, and maybe you've not used your time in honor to God, you've struggled along in life, and you're in old age now, what are you to do? The wonderful blessing is fear God and keep His commandments. And there is a blessing in that. I'm thankful that the message of Ecclesiastes is not, it's too late. You know, there's a lot of religious places that you could go to this morning, and they offer a religion that says, well, it's just too late for you. There are those that will conclude their messages this morning by saying it could be too late when you walk out of this place. Well, my friends, as God's people, it's not too late. We serve a God of grace and a God of mercy. And I'm thankful eternal life has already been paid for. I'm thankful for that. Joel chapter 2 comes to mind when I think about the even now truths. And we're going to look at these even now truths that Solomon speaks about. But Joel writes in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he's writing to God's people who were being disobedient. He's writing to God's people who had turned away from him. He gives them this truth. He says this. He says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." I love that, what he talks about here. He says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord." You know, I'm thankful that Solomon, as an old man now, here was a man that now looked back on his life. He had lots of regrets. He had disobeyed God in so many different ways. He had experienced futility and frustration because he had not put God first in his life. But now he's telling us now that the conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. There are many of God's people that just become paralyzed in guilt. They become paralyzed because of the things of the past. Well, I tell you, my friends, you can't change what happened yesterday. You know, yes, we have all wasted opportunities to serve God and honor God. We can't recover those wasted opportunities. We can't undo all of the poor decisions that we've made. But even now, as Joel says, right now, also now, we can turn unto the Lord. Wherever we find ourselves today, isn't that a wonderful blessing? The Bible says we're to return to the Lord. Joel essentially is telling God's people, return to the Lord, fear him, and walk with him. And then echoing what Solomon has already said here, keep his commandments. Live for the Lord today. If you didn't do it yesterday, we have today. And that's what Solomon is teaching here. We go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's start again at verses 9 and 10. And Solomon is going to give us the pattern as to how we're to do this. You know, we kind of have the general ending. The conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. But now, notice the details that he gives us. Verses 9 and 10, he says this. "And moreover," he says, "because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set out many proverbs." God wasn't finished with Solomon, and God's not finished with us as his people as well. And here in his late stage of life, he says, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge. Sometimes we think, well, I've messed up things so much, there's no way I can be an example or I can be a testimony to someone. I tell you, my friends, though, that if you have fallen short, if you have fallen away from the service of God, you repent and you turn back towards God, that can be a wonderful testimony, a wonderful blessing to your kids and to your grandkids. And what a legacy that is when you fall short and you stumble, you make mistakes, but you confess them and repent and turn back towards the Lord. Solomon was doing that here. He taught the people knowledge. It says, "Yea, he gave good heed and sought out," and it says, "he set in order many proverbs." Said the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright. Notice he says here, even the words of truth. Notice the emphasis here on truth. He says, even the words of truth. Now Solomon again has spent much of his life examining the world around him, trying to make sense of the world around him. But what he turns back to is the truth of God's word. He's saying here that we don't need another philosophy. We don't need another ideology here in this world. We need the truth. We don't need more possessions as God's people. We don't need more experiences here in this world. We need the truth of God's word. And what a great principle there is in this. And, you know, the way that we turn back towards the Lord is paying attention to his truth. when we are returning unto God, when we are turning away from the things of the world, whatever it might be, and to whatever degree it might be, truth is important. When our spiritual lives drift and our priorities change and we, you know, the voices of the world are what's directing us, and our flesh is what's guiding us, and our fears are what are guiding us. We're called back to the Lord, and it's always focused in on truth. And Solomon reminds us here that this is where we need to turn as God's people. The preacher sought out acceptable words. He sought out those that were upright, and he says they are even the word of truth. We have the truth, my friends. In this messed up world that we live in, we don't have to scratch our heads and wonder what's right and what's wrong. We just need to embrace the truth for what it is, the truth. Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. And in verse 105, the psalmist David would say this: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what the truth is, my friends. You're confused in this world. You don't know which direction to turn to. God's word gives us truth. It gives us the direction. It's like a light. You get up in the middle of the night, and my house is dark. I like to sleep in a cave. But there's sometimes I need to go to places and I need a light. I'll use my little cell phone light sometimes to navigate around the house and around the bedroom. Well, God's word is a light for us in this dark world. Now, the biggest question is whether or not we're going to open up God's word and whether or not we're going to embrace the truth that God has given us. That's where the difficulty lies. Jesus would pray for his people in John chapter 17. He would say, "Sanctify them through thy truth." He says, "Thy word is truth." You know, one of the biggest challenges that we face today is our folks that question the veracity or the truthfulness of God's word. Well, my friends, by faith, we are called as God's people to embrace this as our truth. And Solomon, the words that he sought out, you know, he didn't mention here in the book of Ecclesiastes all of the philosophical writers that he probably studied as he went down the rabbit holes of the ideologies of this world. You know, he didn't quote the other wise men of the world. And again, he had all the resources and all the abilities to seek out information from the best and the brightest that the world had to offer that time. No, he seeks out and says we're to seek out the truth of God's word. It's the lamp. It's the light into our path. The Apostle Paul would tell the young minister Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." He says this, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This is the truth because it's God-breathed. It's the inspired word of God. Historians, they will look at the Bible and say, well, this is a very great composition of words of wisdom from different men. But my friends, it's more than that. It's not just a compilation of different writers that lived over a span of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's God-breathed. Now, he used men and inspired them to pen these words, but it's God's word. He's given us this word, and it's the truth that we have. Notice the words that I read here: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. I'm thankful God's word just doesn't merely tell us what is true, but it also confronts us when we're wrong. It corrects us. It corrects our direction. It corrects our course in life. It teaches us how to walk. And what a blessing that is. Even if I've wandered spiritually, the Word of God gives me the direction that I need. If my priorities become confused, the truth of God's Word can help me reprioritize my life. If I'm discouraged, the Word of God offers encouragement for us. If I become consumed with this world, the Bible gives me the answer to that, to love not the world. You know, David would write in Psalm 119 as well, in verse 18, he would say this. He says, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That should be our prayer this morning as God's people. You've drifted. You've lost your focus in the service of God. You've become distracted by the things of this world. You've been wrapped up in sin in this world. Pray that prayer. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help us to not only just follow God's word out of obligation. Lord, help us not only to open up our Bible when we feel guilty, but may we want to seek God's word. May we want to seek God's truth and seek the wondrous things out of his word. The word of God. And not only does he speak about the word of God as being truth, but in verse 11 he talks about the word of God moving us, the word of God establishing us. Verse 11, notice this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says this, he says, "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." There's two wonderful pictures here that Solomon references. He talks about goads, G-O-A-D-S, and nails. And now what was a goad used for? A goad was used to lead an animal in a certain direction. If I understand correctly, you remember the pictures of the bulls that they used to have the rings in their noses. And they would lead that animal around, but sometimes even with that ring in their nose, they would become stubborn and they would need something to prod them along from behind. Well, that was what a goad was. It was something to prod the stubborn animal along. Well, Solomon says here that the words of the wise are as goads. Now, the goad that you use to lead the oxen or lead the cow, it wasn't very comfortable to the oxen or the cow, but you know what? They needed to be led in the right direction. You know, if they wouldn't go on their own, or if they wouldn't go with light or persuasion, they would be given a prod by that goad. Well, the words of God, the wisdom of the word of God is like a goad in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like people telling me what to do on principle. In the flesh, I don't like people telling me what to do. Well, that's the flesh. But you know what we need? We need to be made uncomfortable by God's word, and we need to be prodded in the right direction. I need it on a daily basis. And Solomon says here, the words of the wise are as goads. I'm thankful that God's word moves us when we need moving. You know, a lot of times we become stagnant in our service to God, or we start straying away because we're not in the word of God and allowing the truth of God's word to guide our decisions and lead us here in this world. But also here, not only do you see this goad, but you see a nail as well. You know, a nail is used to fasten something securely into place. So there's times when we need moved by the word of God, but I don't know about you, but there's times when I need stability and an anchor from God's word. And, you know, that's what he's talking about here when he says that that the words of the wise are as nails. It says, fastened by the master of the assemblies. Now, this is talking about something that's beyond the normal, beyond the ordinary. He's talking about God's word. You know, there are times when we become stagnant in this world. I'm thankful that the word God is faithful to chasten me with his word and faithful to point me in the right direction by his word. That's why it's important to read God's word. That's why it's important to sit under the preaching of God's word so that we can enjoy the benefits. So the word of God can become like a goad. But then there's also times where we need stability in our life. In this world that we live in, the word of God can also be like a nail giving us stability, giving us an anchor. James chapter 1 and verse 22. He talks about God's word. And I mentioned last Sunday, I think, if you want, you know, one of the most practical books in the Old Testament, we've been going through it in the book of Ecclesiastes. James is the other book in the New Testament. It's probably the most practical of God's word. But he says in James chapter 1 and verse 22 concerning the word of God, he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only," he says, "deceiving your own selves." I've known individuals that have gone to college and they have gotten graduate degrees in biblical history and in biblical studies and not believe a word of it. I've known folks like that. I'm not just making fun of them. They've said that. They've taken the Bible from just a strictly historical and critical perspective, and they've earned high-level degrees, and they don't believe the teachings in it. Well, James warns us as God's people not only to be a hearer of the word. You can have your PhD in biblical studies, and if you don't do it, he says you're deceiving your own selves. Now, when we are hearers of God's word and we are doers of those commandments of God's word, then God's word is acting as a goad, a prod that prods us along in the right direction. And it also acts as a nail that establishes us and stabilizes us during times of difficulty. We need stability in the world that we live in. We need prodding forward because of this flesh that we contend with. The word of God is where we go. Fear God and keep his commandments. Not only are we to be hearers of God's word, we need to be doing God's word as well. So I ask you the question this morning, what is God's word prodding you to do this morning? Where is it prodding you? What direction is it prodding you in? Well, if God's word is moving you and encouraging you, it's going to be in the right direction. And we have this propensity in the flesh to say, well, I understand what God's word says. I hear what God's word says, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to do something about it later. Remember what we started out with in the book of Joel. Even now, turn to the things of God. It anchors us. What a wonderful blessing, the anchoring of God's word. I just thought about this scripture in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. In the book of Isaiah, we have God's people. Israel is in chaos. They are going to be carried away into captivity. They are suffering defeat from their neighbors around them because of their lack of faithfulness towards God. He says this in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe it's verse 8. He says, "The flower fadeth," no, "the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." That's good news, isn't it? Even if everything around us seems uncertain, we have something solid upon which we can build: God's word. And I love when he talks about this goad and this nail. He says this as well in that verse. He says, "Which are given from one shepherd." I like that. And, you know, behind this wisdom that we see here from Solomon, there is the shepherd. I think that's speaking of the shepherd that we worship and we adore as God's people today. I'm thankful that his word reminds us of who's in control. I'm thankful that it reminds us that Jesus paid it all. I'm thankful that it reminds us that we have the ultimate example in our Savior. You know, he was a great shepherd. In John chapter 10, he would say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's devotion as God's people. As we heed his word, it's where we're hearing the words of the shepherd. "My shepherd and my people hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Look to the word of God. Allow yourself to be led by the truth of God's word. Let it be that prod that prods you along. Let it be that stabilizing factor in your life when things seem uncertain. And even now, as we go on, Solomon's going to remind us to stop looking for things in the world. Stop looking for satisfaction in the world, because the world can't give you what you need as a child of God. Verse 12, notice what he says now. He says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books." He says, "There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Now, since we've just started school, I want you to understand what Solomon is not saying here. Solomon is not condemning education and learning. So you got to get up and go to school in the morning, kids. I'm so sorry. But what he is teaching us here, he's reminding us that the things of this world have their limits. There's the things of this world that will never fully satisfy you as a child of God. And he uses an illustration here. He says, of the making of many books, there is no end. And that's the way it is even now. You know, we've shifted to the digital age, but still every week there's hundreds of new books that are published. You know, we may not go to the bookstore and buy them. We may buy the digital copy on Amazon or whatever your reader of choice is. But every day I would venture that there's hundreds of books that are published every day. Thousands of books that are published every year. They never end. The self-help books, you know, the weight loss books, the books on how to get promoted, the books on how to win friends and influence people. There's always going to be something bigger and better out there. There'll always be another book. There'll always be another opinion out there, won't there? There'll always be another theory. There'll always be another pursuit. There'll always be another experience. There'll always be another possession, something new and something shiny. There'll always be another accomplishment. But there'll always be those things that promise fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives. But none of these can replace God in our lives as his people. He says, be admonished of the making of any books, there is no end. He says, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. You know, again, it's not putting down education, but it's making that the sole priority of your life. It's not putting down enjoying the things of the world. It's not putting down having a fulfilling career. It's not putting down enjoying the material things that God has allowed you to have. But the admonition is, chasing those things to the detriment of your devotion and service to God. That's been the running message throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, if you don't remember. Remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10, Solomon say this about himself. He says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. And what did he say about that? I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and behold, he says, it was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I want to admonish you, my friends, keep your eyes on the Lord. Let everything else be engaged in. Let everything else that takes your time, let everything else that takes your energy be viewed from the lens of putting God first. And he will bless you in your life. Solomon, you know, had everything, and he discovered that everything in this world was not enough. He learned what Jeremiah had admonished Israel about during his time. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the people, again, they were being carried away into captivity. They were being carried from their homes because of their disobedience to God. And he says this in verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 2. He says this, he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they had hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He's using figurative language there, and he says to Israel that they've done two things wrong here. They've forsaken the fountain of living waters. They've forsaken God. And then he talks about these cisterns. Cisterns were these apparatuses that were used to hold water. And now oftentimes they would put them in rocks and in the ground. And he says here that Israel, they hewed out cisterns, and they hewed out broken cisterns that would not hold any water. They walked away from the fountain of life, and they tried to collect water in a broken container. That sums up what Solomon had done with his life. Remember, he had been blessed with all the wisdom that he could have. God came to him. God said, you know, whatever you ask me, I'll give to you. Solomon asked for wisdom as a young man. God gave him wisdom. And very quickly after that, Solomon started walking on it in his own way. And it ended up being what we read here. Vanity and vexation of spirit. The things of this world will never be enough for you, child of God. And there are so many people, I think so many people that start out with good intentions that make the pursuit of the things of the world their primary focus. And they're never satisfied with it. We need to take priority daily in our lives. What are we pursuing? What are we chasing after? And understanding that if it's the things of the world, it will never, ever fulfill us. You know, people today, when they think about the quote-unquote American dream, they think about their careers. Well, the American dream is to find the career that you want to spend your days doing it and climb to the top of that ladder, climb to the top of the corporate ladder, climb to the top of the political ladder. Well, what happens when you get to the top of the ladder? It's not fulfilling. Or if I can just have this kind of house or live in this neighborhood or wear this brand of clothes, then I'll be satisfied and I'll be happy. It's never found. Well, if I can have just $1 million, I will be satisfied. And it never brings satisfaction. I think it was J. Paul Getty, I think, that the millionaire multiple times over. And he had quoted to somebody, you know, somebody had asked him one time, are you satisfied now? You've got more money than you or your grandchildren are ever spend. What are you going to do next? He says, I'm going to go out and make my next million. Because it's never satisfying. Entertainment. You know, have you realized that entertainment of this world will never fully satisfy you? You know, that's why at Disney World, they always have these construction projects going on. You know, it's a small world, doesn't satisfy you anymore, so they got to tear that down and do something bigger or something better. Such is the world that we live in. If you're looking for your soul meaning and satisfaction in the relationships of this world, you'll go away unsatisfied. My friends, let me say this. In the relationships that you have in this life here in this world, if you don't put God first, they're always going to let you down. And over and over and over again. He says, Jeremiah says, you have hewn out broken cisterns that can hold no water. My friends, I'm thankful we have the fountain of living waters in Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4 about verse 13, speaking to the woman at the well. He says, whosoever drinketh of this water, speaking about the water, the physical water that was there, shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The world says, just a little bit more. And people spend their whole lives looking for that little bit more. But Jesus says to his people, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to now think about this when you go home this afternoon. How long have you been drinking from the broken cisterns rather than just returning to the fountain of living waters who saved you? He says that. We go on in verse 13. He says this. We've considered the Word of God. We've considered turning towards God. He says in verse 13 again, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We've looked at the Word of God. We've looked at how the Word of God is applied in our lives and what the Word of God does in our lives. Now he talks about the fear of God. What does it mean to fear God? Now, there are some this morning that will paint the picture of God being the angry deity and just waiting to strike people down. And that, you know, if we don't get right with God, then we're going to be condemned to an eternal hell. That's not theologically accurate. When we talk about fearing God, we're talking about a reverential fear. A reverential fear that says, you know, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I want to give you the honor and glory that's due to you. That's what we're called to do as God's people. It's the fear that a son has for a loving father. You know, I want to honor my father's name, not because I'm fearful that he's going to harm me, but I want to honor him because of all the good that he's done for me. Solomon says this: fear God and keep his commandments. Fear, when the Bible talks about fear, it's equated with reverence. The fear of God means reverencing God. If you reverence God, it means you have an awe for him, that you have a respect for him, that you recognize the greatness of God, and that you submit to his authority because he is God. Fearing God means that you put him in the rightful place in your life. You put him first. You know, Solomon talked about Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, he would say this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, in Proverbs chapter 9, Solomon say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, and interestingly enough, you know, Ecclesiastes, you see Ecclesiastes, he talks about these Proverbs, and then he goes into these Proverbs that focus on fearing God. When you fear God and you put him in his proper place in your life, everything else seems to find its proper place. That's been my experience. You put God first. And it's amazing to me how I can have a difficult circumstance waiting for me. If you're going to work tomorrow morning, there's probably something difficult that's going to be waiting for you. I can't tell you how many times I've worried and stressed over something, but then come to this place or open up God's Word and hear words of instruction and words of comfort. And that problem that seems so big to start with isn't as big as it once was. Because we put God first. We put God first. You know, everything else finds its proper place many times. We put God first. We can put material things in their proper place. I'm thankful for the material things that God has given me. I'm thankful that he's given us the things of this world to enjoy. When I put God first, that means that my possessions don't possess me. When I keep God first, I can keep a proper perspective in my career and my job. When the disappointments come in work, then, you know, they're not as big because I know that God is in control. When I work hard and my boss or my employer doesn't see it, I'm doing it unto God, and I know that God sees the work and the labor that I'm doing. When I put God first in my family, then I'm able to be the father that my kids need to be, the husband that my wife needs to be. When I put God first, my ambitions in life can be in their proper place. Devotion means for us as God's people, putting God back where he belongs, first and foremost in our lives. Now I want to say this: God's going to have the ultimate glory. God's going to get glory. Now, for us, what we need to do is to seek to put God first in our lives and glorify him in the day in and day out stuff that we do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus would say this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That word first matters. It doesn't say seek God after you've done everything else you want to do in life. Seek God at the end of the day when all of your energy and all of your resources are spent. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's what matters the most. So, I don't know about you, but I have to ask myself this question every day. What am I placing first in my life today? You know, when I get up in the morning, what am I placing first in my life? We should be seeking first the kingdom of God. So he says, fear God. And finally he says this: and keep his commandments. One commentator has said this: true devotion is more than emotion. Think about that, because the fastest growing religious groups in our culture today focus on the emotional experiences. You know, getting turned up, getting crunk, getting all excited, jumping up and down and leaping and just going wild in the service of God. Now, I'm thankful that the worship of God is not an emotionless experience, But there's emotion and then there's devotion to God's word. He says, fear God and keep his commandments. It's more than just the experience. It's just more than just feeling good about what's going on. It's more than just saying we love God. Keeping his commandment means there's a change in our behavior, a change in our actions. Going back to John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus would say this, if you love me, jump up and down and shout. If you love me, just make a big show of everything. No, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John would write this, for this is the love of God that we run around the church building and like our hair's on fire. No, it says, for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, this is the practical side of the book of Ecclesiastes. The reality is, we all have room for improvement in that area to keep his commandments. I've said it before and I'll say, I've never had the perfect day. I've never been able to lay down before I go to sleep and take inventory of my life and say, well, I got it all right today. No, there's plenty for us to repent of as God's people. Fear God and keep his commandments. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? A couple of weeks ago, I spent a couple of Wednesdays talking about the prodigal son. I have been that prodigal on a regular basis. We have all been that prodigal. But the question is, are we going to stay in that pig pen, or are we going to arise and go to the Father? Fear God and keep his commandments. As I said earlier, we've made mistakes. There are things we can't undo, but we can change what we're doing right now and turn towards God. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful blessing that we have the great God over all. And serve God today. And he'll end by saying in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I think what Solomon is doing here is reminding us of living in the present. You know, to live our lives in the present. And he gives this dichotomy here that I think is important for us to think about. You know, we live in a world today where, image is everything. You know, in the world that we live in, and people try to portray themselves in certain ways. But my friends, I want you to understand that much of what we see in this world is just a show. And, you know, we live in the age of the quote-unquote influencers, and young people want to be like these influencers. Well, Solomon is saying here that, you know, don't view the behaviors and the actions of other people, and don't look at the world for the standard of success. He says this, though, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, he says, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He talks here about nothing getting past God. Now, he's not talking about eternal judgment here for us as God's people. But he's talking about living a God-honoring life in the here and now. What we need to be influenced by is God's word. And I'll leave you with this. In Psalm 90, the psalmist says this in verse 12. He says, his prayer is this, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return unto the Lord. Psalm 51, we quoted this a couple of Wednesdays ago. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Today is the day. Now is the time for us as God's people. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. What will we do with today? I pray that we would seek to honor the Lord. I pray that we would go forward by the grace of God and honor him. And whatever your circumstance is, maybe you've stepped away from service to God for one reason or another. Today is a new day. Today is a good day to return unto the Lord. You say, well, Brother Michael, you don't know all of the mistakes that I've made. I don't know, but I do know, a child of God, that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins on the cross. He has paid our sin debt. Let us go forward and serve him. Let's turn to song number 441. As always, we want to take a moment and publish an open door to the church. If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to take up your cross and follow after him.